Hello and welcome to Cubicle Confidential, advice for the working stiff. I'm Chris DeSantis and let me introduce my co-host, starting with F's, the free-spirited, fascinating, and fabulicious Mary Abijay.
I love, what is it, Fabulicious?
I made that up. It's a
more. Oh my God, that's so great. That's going to be my moniker. I want that on my tombstone. Fabulicious. Hello, everybody. My name is Mary Abijay, and I am delighted to introduce to you my co-host, the fresh, the friendly, the fantabulous, and most important, the fashionable, Mr. Chris DeSantis is in the house. Hey, Chris.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm good. Did you like the fashionable part?
I did. I love the fashionable part.
You are so fashionable. Even as we're like taping this in our like own respective offices, you always look so put together, so clean, so fresh, so sporty. And I'm looking like I'm wearing sweatpants.
Well, at least you're wearing pants.
Well, well, actually, I'm not, but I just told you I was. Chris, what are we talking about today?
Oh, gosh. Today, we're talking about careers. And this special episode, we've heard from one of our listeners' daughters about a question she sent in.
Oh, so we're like hearing like from the other side?
Yes. Well, we think this. She thinks it was her mother that wrote in. So.
Love.
So, but this being the case, this episode is called There Are No Small Dreams in Search of a Career. And since that's the case, I think we're going to do three questions.
Three questions.
Today,
love it.
Which was interesting because when I looked at the questions, they're each from a unique stage of their lives.
Oh, I love that. From different stages in their career. Fun.
By the way, how would you classify your own life, Mary? Are you a series of jobs, careers, or pivots? What do you fall into?
Oh, so that's so interesting. So I think if you had asked me that maybe 15 years ago, I would have said that I was a series of jobs. If you asked me that maybe 5 years ago, I would have said it's been a series of careers. But if you asked me that today, and I think you just did, I would say it's been a series of pivots in one long career. So I think as I have been working for 25 years, I have a different vantage of looking at what my career has been. And I would say now it's been more, to be exact, it's been career pivots. How about you?
Well, you know, I'm going to talk about you some more because think
I love talking about me. This is going to be a great episode. Yes. I could just tell.
Well, listeners, you may not be aware of this, but if you've not listened to us before, Mary's had a number of interesting things. She's been a radio host. She's been a bar owner. She has a consulting firm. She's a speaker. She's an author. She's worked for the government, and the government now works for her. But the point being here is she's had a number of things, and I think she's a parlayer. I think she parlays. I think what she does is she takes the best of what she learned where she was, and she finds a place to put it in the next thing that she does. And she reinterprets it and makes it relevant to the new situation. And she parlays each time on building on what she has done in the past, which goes to this point of her pivots.
I am speechless. I am without words. I have never heard anyone describe it so, quite frankly, beautifully and eloquently and so accurately. Like, Chris, you're right. That, I mean, I've done so many different things. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it and be like, oh, how is being a bar connector connected to being a consultant? How is being a PR director for a children's museum connected to being, you know, a radio show host? But you're right. I have like picked up little things throughout all of my careers and jobs, yes, and I parlayed them into something different in a new context. Oh my God, I love you. I'm going to hang up right now because I just feel really good about myself. And I need to go have a cocktail to celebrate me.
Well, that's it for us, people. Thanks for joining us for Cubicle Confidential. Hit the music, yeah, Jack.
I love that. But you know, cue the music, Jack. But you know, I think while that's true, I think it's hard. I think there's many people like me. And I think sometimes it's hard to see that in the moment as you're doing it. Because I know we've talked about this before and on a different show, but like your career being a marathon and not everybody knowing exactly who or what they want to be in the very beginning, to the point of your small dreams. And so I think when you can learn to parlay the different parts of your career or the different parts of your life, I think that can help you find your passions and find a career that makes sense. And oddly enough, looking back, it all makes sense. It just didn't at the time.
Well, I think to your point is that we think in terms of when we leave something behind, we fail to realize that we're going with it.
Yeah.
We carry that forward. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think about my very first real job out of college, and it was working for a software developer that created accounting software for the Macintosh computer. And I actually worked in the accounting department. Now, I'm an English major at this time. I don't know nothing about numbers, like nothing about numbers. And I hated it. But you know what? 20 years later, guess what? One thing that helps me run my own business is. I'm going with accounting. Like, just like little things like that you never realize are going to be so helpful to you as long as you bring them with you.
Yes, that's exactly right. Well, we better move on here because we do have three questions to go here. Let's go with our first question. This one called Third Time's the Charm. I know this might sound nuts. Oh, this is the young woman. I know this might sound nuts, but I think my mother sent you a question, or the question you answered was about someone just like me. I just left my second job in 4 years too. I hated it. Both jobs had me doing things I didn't like doing, but they both sounded so good in the interviews. They had great benefits and good salaries. I feel like a failure and a quitter. I want to make my parents proud, but I'm at a loss. I like working with people. I'm good with details. I have a degree in English Lit. Oh, familiar? And I'm a quick learner. How do I get back on track? Signed, Down and Out in Bloomfield Hills.
Oh, all right. So I am like, my heart goes out to this person. I think it's a girl, a woman, a young person. And I empathize. Like, I have been there, my friend. So I'm going to say a couple of things. And I know you have a couple of things to say. One is this: worry a little less about making your parents proud and worry a little bit more about finding your next job. And worry a little bit more about finding out what energizes you and what makes you tick, and kind of building your portfolio that you can parlay into other things. So it's really natural to be trying to find your way. And I applaud you taking charge of your career. I just want to see you take charge of your career journey, which means, first of all, stop thinking about these as jobs and start thinking about them as experiences, as skills, as expertises that you are picking up. I want you to also stop quitting your job before you get another job. that might fly the first time around, but there is a difference of leaving a job for another job or leaving a job and just quitting and having nothing. A, it's going to stress out your parents, and B, it's going to worry other employers. Employers don't mind so much seeing you job jump a little bit, but what they don't want to see you as someone who just quits and then takes your toys and goes home. So try to line up next moves. So my advice is really just around classic career management. Really take some time to think about what you want to do in your next job. Take some time to think about what are the skills that you have that you enjoy using. What are the experiences that you've enjoyed? Like, what is it you want more of or less of in your next job? I mean, there's so many great books out there, like What Color Is Your Parachute? Job Crafting. Like, really take some time to get clear about what you are trying to accomplish. And I will say, you know, work isn't always fun, especially more entry-level work. It's not more fun, but it's giving you experience. So do what you can to keep getting experience. And my last piece of advice I will give is try to look for organizations that are going to give you lots of different experiences. So let's say you go to work in organization A and you don't like your job or it gets really boring really quickly. Well, you know, if it's the right organization, maybe you can switch departments, you know, the internal mobility. And things like smaller companies or nonprofits, these are understaffed, under-resourced organizations, which might offer you a lot of different opportunities while you're trying to figure out what really really juices you and what you really like to do. So those are a couple of my thoughts. I'm going to turn over to Chris because I know you have some thoughts as well and probably better ones. So Chris, what would you say? What would you say to Down and Out in Bloomfield Hills?
Well, first, I have no better thoughts, but I have a different expression of some of the thoughts that you've already mentioned, because I really liked your point about finding what you're good at, in effect. And this reminds me of the book Range. I mentioned this on a former podcast, and it's by a man named David Epstein. And he talks about this notion of match quality. And what he's saying is working is a journey, and on it you find jobs that start to match some of your best qualities. That's what Mary does. She found her qualities and she parlays them into the next job or the next position that she has. So she's a creator in that sense. So when you find these matches, and you've already mentioned several of them, right? You're good with details, you're people focused, you have an English lit background, so you're a self-study or a quick study. I might suggest, before you step back into the pool, think about what you've learned on these jobs so far and what you want to avoid going forward. I think, Mary, you have a quote on this. Wasn't that from that singer that you like?
I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew what I didn't want to do. So I just didn't do what I didn't want to do. And pretty soon I was doing what I wanted to do.
There you go. If you do that, you are set to go. So, because what I want you to do, and by the way, put these benefits. You mentioned benefits. Forget benefits. Those are satisfiers. You're looking for something you want to do. This is a journey. And I use the metaphor of the journey as written by a man, McAdams. He wrote a book called The Stories We Live By. He uses a phrase in it that I thought was interesting. He calls this time when you're looking for something as to who I will be, he calls this the psychosocial moratorium. That means you're actively seeking alternatives as to who you'll be in life. And it's an experimental stage. So you, my young Bloomfield Hills friend, you have a very special privilege. You're able, because of your circumstance, to sit back and reflect what I could be. By the way, it's one of the reasons you feel so guilty about quitting. You're taking, in your mind, advantage of your parents' situation in allowing you to reflect. But if you think of it this way, you've been given this gift of time. Use it to your benefit. Get out there and pay particular attention to your career options that leverage your strengths, as Mary indicated. And I'll tell you one more thing. It wouldn't hurt you to talk to your mother and express your gratitude for all she's done to prepare you for your imminent success in the future. After all, we all know she's very worried about you.
I love it. It'd be great to get both of them on the show.
It would be so good.
It would almost be like, not Oprah-like. I'd rather make it more like, who is the chair-throwing person? Springer. We could do a Springer show on this. Yeah. All right. So I think we both agree you're on a journey. You're not a failure. You might be a quitter, so we want you to stop quitting every time and start exploring, right? Get clear about what you're good at, what you want, start parlaying it, and definitely go thank your mother.
Exactly.
I love it.
That's good. Okay, well, maybe we'll hear from your mother again. Who knows?
Please do, Mom. Call us. Hey, everybody. If you're enjoying Cubicle Confidential, then why don't you give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you listen to? We'd really appreciate it as we're trying to bring Cubicle Confidential to everybody.
Let's go on to the next question here. This one's called The Pause That Refreshes. I've been out of the workforce for 19 years. I raised my twins who are finally off to college. Before I had children, I worked for a few years as a buyer for a local department store, which is now closed. I started on the floor as a sales associate and then moved up into operations. 5 years there, and I met my husband-to-be, and the rest is history. I'm 46, and I have a BA. I know retailing has changed a lot. Any advice on how I might package myself? Signed, Empty Nest on a Quest. Oh, Mary, you were born to answer this question. You have reinvented yourself multiple times. What should she do?
Oh my gosh. It's so funny you say that because I was thinking, first of all, I love the empty nest on a quest. I was thinking I have no idea because I've never left the workforce. So I love that you have confidence in me. And of course, as a non-parent, I'm going to give advice because we both know parents love it when we tell them how to do stuff. So, you know, here's the thing. Getting back in the workplace is definitely tricky. especially after a long absence. So I've got some bad news for Empty Nest. I've got some good news, and I've got some really good news for her. So let's start with the bad news first, just to get it out of the way so we don't Pollyanna this. The bad news is it is really hard for stay-at-home moms who are out of the workforce to come back. A 2018 study by the Harvard Business Review found that women who tried to transition from being a stay-at-home mom were only half as likely to get a job interview than those who had been laid off, even if the absence from the workforce was the same amount of time. Wow. So she's definitely fighting an uphill battle. Mm-hmm. That's the bad news. The good news is that it can be done. The good news right now is that there is a talent shortage out there. Ooh. So this is actually a great time to re-enter the workforce. And when you are re-entering the workforce, means that she's restarting her career, which means in many ways, it's going back to the basics as if she was just beginning. So she's going to want to have to think about her career goals. What are her skills? What are her transferable skills? What kind of career or job does she want? Is it really retail that she wants to do, or is she going into retail just because that's what she's known? Is that the only place where her skills are going to translate? And honestly, has retail really changed that much? I know there's online retail, but when I go into a store to buy something face to face, aren't the tenets of customer service still pretty much the same? So don't shortchange your experience in that way. So be clear about that. Now, that's the good news. Now, the really good news is that there are tons of resources out there for women who are entering the workforce after a long absence of caregiving or child rearing. I'm going to name a couple really quickly so that she knows where she can look. One, there's an organization called Path Forward, pathforward.com. And their tagline is empowering you to restart your career after caregiving. Number two, an organization called Elevate, which is a dynamic community that connects women across industries for discussion, mentorship, advice, and meetups. So these women are there to help you do exactly what you're trying to do. Retire is a place where it's another website that provides resources that say that they believe a career break shouldn't be a career breaker. Again, this organization is ready to help you. iRelaunch is another one. They dub themselves the return to work experts, and they give advice, resume advice, career coaching. They even have a conference. And then the last resource, and we'll put all these into our website. The last one I will say is a new website called Fairy God Bosses, Fairy God Boss. The website isn't new, but they're focused on helping women re-enter the workforce is new for them. So those are just five. Like, there are lots of people, lots of women who've been in your shoes who are helping other women make that re-entry a little less painful and a little more successful. So that's what I have to say for Empty Nest on a Quest.
Wow, Mary, I expected it to be brilliant. I didn't expect it to be this brilliant. This
was
so good. It was so good because you're actually giving her far beyond what I'll be able to say relative to this, because Mary is giving you the tools by which you can sort of craft your future and access to people that are going through the same experience, so you are not alone. But there is some job crafting. I like what Mary said. This is job crafting.
Yeah.
I think another thing you should do, sit down with people who know you well, do a lot of one-on-ones and reflect what is that you're good at doing and that they have seen you do that you're good at doing. And conversely, what things don't suit you? You see, you're not going to relearn everything in life at your age. You should take what you have and leverage it. Again, the notion of parlay. And so what you want to do is, rather than just focusing on the existing jobs available, also look at jobs that you aspire to that you would have to get to at some point. You don't have to enter in the ideal job, but the ideal job that matches your skills should be present within the range of a possibility if you work there and basically deliver. So I think one of the challenges you're up against is just that to Mary's notion here is this, the workplace is tilted against you to some point. Another thing we haven't talked about at all is the assumption of why you're doing it.
Yeah.
What is your goal? Are you doing this to make buckets of money, or are you doing it because work holds meaning and you want to contribute? My sense is it's more towards meaning, because you raised two wonderful children and you give them that was a purpose. And so now you are aligned with the notion of having a purpose in life. So I would say broaden your scope to say what is the meaning that I want to derive from it? I have no problem that you wish to make money, but I think you want what's called a thick desire. And those are the deeper, the things are more important to you. And you've had time to reflect on that. So I would say go after that. Your next career should give yourself meaning and give something back in a way that maybe that would mirror who you are. So
I love that. But I also love the fact that you assumed her children were wonderful.
Well, I'm going with wonderful. I'm going with wonderful. I
mean, they could be nightmares.
That's true. But you never know. You give them this is the benefit of the doubt again. Benefit of the doubt.
I love it. And you know what? I think she said, yeah, she did. She told us she was 46. So, I mean, she has a lot of working years left.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
I love what you said about finding something with meaning, because, you know, most of us who work are going to work until our 60s, if not our early 70s. And so that was like 20 some years is a lot of time to build something meaningful.
And remember, you have a support system here. You have a husband who loves you, and you have children who loves you.
Again, assumption, counselor.
Assumption. But you have a support system, so it's your turn, is my point.
I love that. I wish her the best of luck, and you know, it's she's going to do it, and there's people that can help her, and I love it. I love your advice, job crafting. Do it.
Well, speaking of loving the advice, you're going to love this next one. Speaking of purpose too, I love this kid. And I say this kid, you'll know in a moment. This question's titled, "There Are No Small Dreams." Hi, I'm 19 and I have big dreams. I want to be either a record or TV producer some days. And on others, I want to be an actor or a musician. I play the piano. I can sing too. How do I decide what direction to take? I figure the sooner I start, the sooner I make it big. Signed, this, that, or something else. Don't you love this kid? Signed,
oh
this,
God.
That, or something else.
I am kind of without speech on this one as well. Like, this is, I love this question. There's so many things I want to say to this person. First of all, are you assuming this person is a he, a she, or an other?
You know, this could be an other.
All right. So, I assume it was a he, but let's go with they. All right. So first of all, I mean, the good news is that you kind of know where you want to go in a way. That's the start, like show business. And there's no business like show business, right?
Sure.
You want to do something on that because, and then in show business, so that's the start. But there's a big difference between being in front, being on the stage, being as what's called the talent, and being behind the scenes in the more of the production field, the more of the like business end or production end. So those two are really distinct skill sets.
Mm-hmm.
And while it's possible to do both, generally speaking, you're going to probably want to start focusing on one or the other, because you're going to need, both of them are going to require skills. One's going to require talent, and they're both going to require some experience and some marketing. So the way I see it at 19 is you have two basic routes. One is the college route, the school route, and the other is the school of hard knocks route, which is going right into getting the experience. So either one is probably going to be fine for you. But if you go, the college route, then you're going to want to get involved probably in the drama, the production departments. You're going to want to find activities in your school that are going to support these, like, you know, try out for a play, do backstage, like try out for the musicals, or you're going to want to like go work at the radio station. Like, you're going to find something to do. And you're also going to want to take classes. If you go the school of hard knocks, then you're going to have to like pull yourself out. So you're going to have to like join community theater, get your friends together, start a band. Like, you're going to have to start taking some action and getting experience, number one, talent. You've got to have some, if you want to be a singer, you better be able to sing, and you're going to need some training on that. So you're not just going to roll in somewhere and, you know, go on American Idol. You're going to need to start getting some contacts and some connections. You got to get to know people in the industry. So if you go to your college, then you might be able to meet people there. School of Hard Knocks is you're going to find those yourself. And no matter what you do in this field, you're going to have to market yourself. So those are my initial thoughts. And I know a lot of people in show business, like, this is exciting to me, but it's a lot of work. So really think through at 19, which route you're going to take.
I love that. I love it. This is a hard question for me to answer, because I think another piece of this is that, that you as a young person have access to social media in a way that I don't know how to leverage.
I didn't think about that. You're absolutely right.
There might be something in there for you to test your skill sets and see what the responses are relative to what performances you engage in. You play piano, you sing, you're a musician, all of these. So put some acts together, quite frankly. Put it on Tic Tac. See if anybody responds to you.
Wait, professor, it's TikTok.
Tic-tac-toe. I mean, put on tic-tac-toe. Put on TikTok. But that would be the point. The point is that you would then start with picking some of those marketable skills that you have, put them out there, see what kind of response you're getting. And Mary mentioned, we don't know if you're in school or not, but quite frankly, if you really want to be a professional, you have to have professional training at some level. That's just the reality. Raw talent is a good starting point, but it has to be honed. So hone your deepest skill sets and commit to them. The problem you will face, creative fields, while they have more leeway, you can choose what you want to do, there's a lower bar to entry. That means a million people can get in, but very few people migrate to the top. So these are fun gigs when you get them, but they don't always pay well for a long time. So I would learn how to be a waiter or a waitress, or I would have some other skills that you can say supplement that which is my passion, right?
Yeah.
I will also tell you, be acceptant of disappointment, because this is a business fraught with disappointment. You've got to become thick-skinned. You've got to find out what is really good out there, and you've got to be open to the critique that you'll receive when you don't express the best, because you're up against the best in that. But always be curious. Challenge yourself. Be on the developmental path. Was today better than yesterday? Am I learning something today? So in that sense, you're going to make some mistakes. I will say one other thing about your life, and this is a large point. This is a career that you will have, but it is not necessarily the person that you will be. You will do this for a while, and if you are lucky and smart and clever as Mary is, you may parlay all of these interesting skills you have into another career. There's a book called The 100-Year Life, and this author says many people your age will have as many as three careers. So maybe you'll have this musical theater career, and maybe you'll turn that into a musical production career, and maybe you'll turn that into a film career. Who knows? But the point is, anything you learn here is not lost going forward. It's an acquisition and a larger body of knowledge and applying it into the marketplace.
I love that. I love that. And, you know, I love what you said about, you learn how to be a waitress, but because there's a lot of people that want to work in this field, which isn't a reason not to do it,
right.
But it is a reason to know that it's going to take a lot of hard work, a little bit of luck, and it's going to take some time. And so really being clear about what this could look like and being open to different opportunities, I think is really important. And I think if you're going to go into the back end, more of the production end, you know, then start getting a job as an unpaid PA, start putting out those resumes, work for like a news bureau, a local TV, like do whatever you can to get on the production side. And on the talent side, you know, as Chris said, put together an act. I mean, get yourself out there. You know, maybe our underpaid executive producer could like let us know, like in the show notes, like Jack is a producer, or he's on the crew for like major rock concerts. And I don't know how Jack got onto it, but I'm sure he had to work pretty hard to get good at his craft. Don't you think, Chris?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This, you just don't fall into it. But there's a lot of people that want what Jack does. Meaning they want to be Jack.
Jack just replied to us. He said, "School of Hard Knocks, baby."
Yeah. You got to be. He's tenacious. He's polite. and he's assertive, and he's persistent. So if you think of all of those traits that he keeps bringing forward, eventually somebody's going to talk to him because he's making people want to.
And you know what else is about Jack? He is a learner. He is always willing to say, oh, I don't know. Let me learn how I do that. And then you know what? He comes back and he says, here's how you do it. Jack, we love you. Maybe we should call this show Ode to Jack Edinger. All right. Well, Chris, as always, it has been a delight. We love you too, Jack. We just got a little message from Jack. Chris, delight to be here with you today. Listeners, thank you so much for joining us today. Again, a huge thanks to our amazing, overworked, underpaid executive producer, the genius that is Mr. Jack Edinger. If you have a workplace question or a cubicle dilemma, give us a shout. No question is too small. No question is too large. And there are lots and lots of ways to reach us, people. You could email us to info@cubicleconfidential.com. You could tweet us @cubicleconfide1 or connect with us on LinkedIn, either Cubicle Confidential or Chris DeSantis or Mary Abajay. People were easy to find. So until next week, we look forward to seeing you. Have a great work week. Work hard, be kind, and if you can't, call us. And Jack, now you can cue the music.